ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Creation of the 4th Order. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Chapter 29, Talks Between Narada and King Prachinabharhi. Text number 1b. I'll first read word by word. Bhakti, Krishne, Daya, Jiveshu, Akunta Jnanam Atmani Yadi Syat Atmanaha Bhuyat Apavarkaha Tu Samshrite Bhakti Krishne Daya Jivesh Bhakti Krishne Daya Jivesh Akunta Jnanam Atmani Yadi Syat Atmano Bhuyat Apavargastu Samshrite Bhakti Devotional Service Krishne Unto Krishna, Daya, Mercy, Jiveshu, unto other living entities, Akunta Jnanam, perfect knowledge, Atmani, of the Self, Yadi, if, Syat, it becomes, Atmanaha, of oneself, Bhuyat, there must be, Apavarkaha, liberation, to, then, Sangshritehe, from the bondage of material life. Translation, if a living entity is developed in Krishna consciousness and is merciful to others, and if his spiritual knowledge of self-realization is perfect, you will immediately attain liberation from the bondage of material existence. Purport. In this verse, the words Daya Jiveshu, meaning mercy to other living entities, indicate that a living entity must be merciful to other living entities if he wishes to make progress in self-realization. This means he must preach this knowledge after perfecting himself and understanding his own position as an eternal servant of Krishna. Preaching this is showing real mercy to living entities. Other types of humanitarian work may be temporarily beneficial for the body, but because a living entity is spirit soul, ultimately one can show him real mercy only by revealing knowledge of his spiritual existence. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Jivara Swarup Hoy Krishnera Nitya Das. Every living entity is constitutionally a servant of Krishna. One should know this fact perfectly and should preach it to the mass of people. If one realizes that he is an eternal servant of Krishna but does not preach it, his realization is imperfect. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur therefore sings, Dushta Mahana Tumi Kishera Vaishnava Pratishtara Tare Nirjanere ghare tave harinama kevala kataiva. My dear mind, what kind of Vaishnava are you? Simply for false prestige and a material reputation, you are chanting the Hare Krishna mantra in a solitary place. In this way, people who do not preach are criticized. There are many Vaishnavas in Vrindavan who do not like preaching. They chiefly try to imitate Haridas Thakur. The actual result of their so-called chanting in a secluded place, however, is that they sleep, and think of women and money. Similarly, one who simply engages in temple worship but does not see the interests of the mass of people or cannot recognize devotees is called a Ganishta Adhikari. Om Gyanati Marandasyam Ganangina Sadakya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistang Stapitang Yena Bhutale Swayang Rupaka Dhamayam Dadati Swapanantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sakra Jatam Sakana Rakanatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padans Sagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Svitamscha. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Rishabhanu Sutta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanshakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadhadar Srivasadi Ghora Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So first of all, I want to share with the devotees that Rasa Mandala is a little bit sick today. Also, he got the schedule a little bit mixed up because he was supposed to give class once a week, and this week he was scheduled for giving two times, and they also rescheduled him. Somebody told him, you give class Friday, which is true, but also today. So anyway, he excuses himself, so please don't mind. Okay, it's a very nice verse. Bhakti Krishna Daya Jivesh. So we should at least try to remember that. Actually, this reciting of this verse, what we do, it's actually, the idea is actually that we walk away and then we remember the verse. That's the idea. So at least the first line we can try to remember. It means, if a living entity is developed in Krishna consciousness and is merciful to others, that is important. Daya Jiveshu. Jiva. And it's the soul, jivesh, plural, and then dhaya, mercy. Krishna bhara dhoyamoy, that we sing every day for prasadam. If a living entity is developed in Krishna consciousness and is merciful to others, and if his spiritual knowledge of self-realization is perfect, akunta jnanam, this means perfect knowledge, atmani, his spiritual knowledge, akunta jnanam, of self-realization, atmani, of the self. Yadi syat atmano bhuyat. He will immediately attain liberation from the bondage of material existence. Apavargas tu sangshrite. That is, we sing every morning. Sangsara dhava nala lidhaloka. Tranaya karuna ganaganatvam. That the spiritual master, he delivers us from the ocean of birth and death. This sangsara means like a Ferris wheel going up and down to the heavenly planets and back to the earthly planets and up again. Birth, death, old age and disease. I mean, we've heard it many times before, but what struck me this Monday when Srila Prabhupada was giving class is that he always very much sticks to the basics. So I'll try and also do that a little bit. Dehinasmin yatha dehe kaumanam jovanam jara tatha dehantara praptir. So what we should understand, that is stressed in this purport, that we are not this body. Dehinasmin yatha dehe kaumanam jovanam jara. The embodied soul, he moves. This is Krishna's example. Dehinasmin yatha dehe kaumanam. Little kid body, so you know it's a different body. Like I have now different teeth, different voice, hairs everywhere. So the body is completely changed. Kaumanam, yovanam, youth, and then jara, old age. So like that, the soul is moving in the body. And there is no reason to believe that at the end of this body, that the soul will not be moving. If his spiritual knowledge of self-realization is perfect, he will immediately attain liberation from the bondage of material existence. In this verse, the word dhyajivesho, meaning mercy to other living entities, indicate that the living entity must be merciful to other living entities if he wishes to make progress in self-realization. Yeah, so it's kind of it's a statement by Narada Muni. In fact, Rasa Mandala, he explained, I just read that note again. It says here, according to Vijat Vajatirtha, who belongs to the Madhvacharya Sampradaya, the first two of the following verses appear after verse 45 of this chapter, and the remaining two verses appear after verse 79. Yeah, so these two, 1b and 2b, they appear after verse 79. I'll just quick check it quickly for you. Verse 79 says, you should always know that this cosmic manifestation is created, maintained and annihilated by the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Consequently, everything within this cosmic manifestation is under the control of the Lord. To be enlightened by this perfect knowledge, one should always engage himself in the devotional service of the Lord. So that's important. To be enlightened by this perfect knowledge, one should always engage himself in the devotional service of the Lord. And then it says, if a living entity is developed in Krishna consciousness and is merciful to others, and if his spiritual knowledge of self-realization is perfect, he will immediately attain liberation from the bondage of material existence. So there's basically three things that Narada Muni is mentioning here. We should be developed in Krishna consciousness. What is that verse from Rupa Goswami? That we should be constantly engaged. Anukulyena Krishnanu, is that the verse? Ahaituki apratihata. Is that it? Bhagavatam, what's that verse? Savaipum samparo dharma, is that it? Anyway, ahaituki apratihata, that's the line, no? Should be constantly unmotivated and constantly, no? Yes. Uninterrupted, that's the word, yeah. Ahaituki apratihata. So, is developed in Krishna consciousness. Developed, but maybe also enveloped, so it should be constant. But we should also be a little bit knowledgeable. And like Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhakti Mam Abhijnanati, he reveals the knowledge if we serve him. So there should also be service, not just knowledge. Yeah, ultimately these things, they come by realization. Like we can read a book, but then we also have to apply it. Like with a doctor, you know, or a lawyer, they generally have to, before they get their official degree, they have to do some field work, and they get checked out by other doctors and other lawyers. So in our process, it's the same. Like if you want to become second initiated, there is a Bhakti Shastri test, which is nowadays like preliminary. It's more or less obligatory to follow that. But then the person gets, well, he gets tested, checked by senior Vaishnavas, and then he gets recommendation. And that testing and checking is done while the person is serving. For instance, coming to Mangalarti or the service that the person is doing. Like that, so there is also a kind of behavior that we need to develop, and part of that behavior is that we should be merciful to others. Of course, charity starts at home, and I know some Sangatan devotees, and they're so nice on the street. They're like the sweetest persons, you know. They're patting the people on the back, and they're selling one book after the other. But then in the temple, they are sometimes a little bit... Of course, Prabhupada also recommended it. He said you should, like a lion on the chase on Sankirtan, in the temple should be like a sheep. So in one sense, it's also good. But at the same time, we should we should also, well, maybe preachers, devotees is maybe pushing it a little bit, because we should always feel ourselves as das, as servant of the devotees, but we should always be encouraging and helping the devotees and sharing knowledge and asking questions. What is that what Rupa Goswami says? These six exchanges of love. The dhami. What's that? I'm sorry? Could you speak up? Who's ever reciting, could you just a little louder? I know it's a little bit. Yeah, the dhati, prati, grinati. So we should, what does that mean? Giving gifts, right? And receiving gifts. The dhati, prati, grinati. Yes. Gujam means like we should share or inquire. What's the word? Yes, inquire confidentially or inquire in confidence, and what's the other one? Speak confidentially, yeah. So that's also, you know, I mean, let me just talk about myself. I tend to gossip. That's not the idea. Somebody comes to you in confidence, you know, and says Prabhu, this and that, then we should, you know, Brahman means truthful, and it means that it stays there, like with a priest, you know, because this process is, I mean, it maybe sounds a little bit puffed up, but it's the process, and you know, things like Christianity and the Quran, Muslims, it's, you know, from our point of view or from the Vedic point of view, these are so-called Kali Yuga religions, the religions that sprung up basically later. And like sometimes it's not clear, for instance, where the Old Testament comes from. It's a very mystic scripture. And the Quran also is partly based on the Old Testament, on the Bible. So that whole culture, let us just focus on the Christian culture because that is most close to us, it's not different from this culture. And that, of course, it's very much known to us that, you know, you have the priest and you do a confession and it's supposed to stay there. So that's the same thing basically that Rupa Goswami is explaining. You reveal your mind confidentially and it should stay there. So, of course, with us it's more, not so official, it's more, you know, dynamic, it's more like Vrindavan, this is Radha Gopinath, so it's more informal. But that doesn't mean that we should not be, how is that word, when you have to keep a secret? You know, you should be more confidential, you know, for lack of another word. So that we should really try and practice that, especially when it's important things, and especially with junior devotees. Because, you know, sometimes maybe, because it's sometimes done in a kind of an informal way, we forget that especially younger devotees or new devotees, or whatever I should call them, that they really look up to persons who are longer in the movement, and that, you know, that we shouldn't betray that trust. And then what's the third one? Ah, our favorite. Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. Could you repeat that? Bhungte Bhojayate Cheva. And also, sharing prasadam and honoring prasadam. Actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that this is association. Sometimes devotees say you shouldn't associate with karmis. But the main thing is these six exchanges. That is actual association. So as long as we're not actually doing that, it's not really association. And also, Like my old friend Dharma Kshetra Prabhu used to say, you should also give association. Like, you know, for instance, Guru Puja, then people would stay in their beds and say, who would come? He said, Prabhu, you should also give your association. Devotees want to see you. So similarly, when we associate with people who are, well, you know, to use another word instead of karmis, people who are maybe not so advanced, like for instance my parents, we can give them prasadam or cook for them. We can try to, you know, give them some knowledge and give them a gift. I know, for instance, Parthasarathi, he told me he never accepts a gift or a donation unless the person chants 16 rounds. So he's very careful. He's very careful because he knows that it's association. If you take that gift, then you're associating with the person and you get the karma. This is the old culture that if you get something, you're indebted. And the old culture, in the old culture, people knew that. Nowadays, it's kind of Kali Yuga, and people think like, oh, he's giving to me, I'm the winner. You know, he's giving to me. But in the old culture, Vedic culture, people would immediately feel very indebted. Oh, he's giving to me, oh, now I'm in trouble. So, and then they feel, you know, they feel obliged to give something back. And that's the whole exchange, of course. Anyway, so we should be mindful of these six exchanges, with who we do them. And yeah, if the person is not so advanced, then we should be, like explained in this verse, we should be merciful, we should be more giving to that person instead of taking. Okay, I'll just read a little bit more. I'll just read it one more time. In this verse, the words dayajiveshu, meaning mercy to other living entities, indicate that the living entity must be merciful to other living entities if he wishes to make progress in self-realization. Yeah, another point also is that we, by sharing the knowledge, like now I'm trying to give class, you know, Dharma Kshetri always used to tell me, you're always giving class to yourself, which is true. Because I'm speaking, first of all, my ears are closest to the mouth, and, you know, you're further away, so I'm the first one to hear it. And also, I probably understand best what I'm saying, because it's, you know, what I understand, and maybe you have different realizations. So basically, you know, I'm preaching to myself. So the point is that when you share the knowledge, it becomes easier to understand it. You sort of, it's another stage in acquiring the knowledge. One is listening, another one is understanding, and a third one is sharing it with others. So it's another way to, you know, realize the knowledge more deeper inside of you. This means he must preach his knowledge after perfecting himself and understanding his own position as an eternal servant of Krishna. Yeah, so yesterday I was we're doing all these letters in Vanipedia. We're trying to fill up the Prabhupada category. We're trying to completely fill it up. So we're basically doing all the letters. And yesterday I made a page about boiling down the milk. This was in 72. I think most devotees know what it means, boiling down the milk. Well, first of all, it means, of course, making burfi. But second of all, it means that Prabhupada stressed that, you know, I don't want so much expanding. Or he said, I want to expand, but not at the cost of training up our own man. Because in the beginning, it was sort of really pushing, no matter what. But in 72, Prabhupada sort of, he got more into this mood that we should train up our man. And he was more into the mood of, which is more the mood now in ISKCON, training up brahmanas. Not training up qualified, well, in one sense, leaders. So that is the point that Prabhupada makes here. He must preach his knowledge after perfecting himself. I also remember there's one discussion where it's a very, very actually significant discussion where Hari Kesh is also raising this point. And then he's saying, like, I'm not so qualified to preach. And the Prabhupada says, then why are you preaching? What is this nonsense preaching? Then don't preach. So we should be qualified. And I remember also he was saying to Guru Kripa, who is very, it's I don't know if you ever saw him on the memory tapes. He's like a really big guy. And also he collected a lot of Lakshmi. And he shared that Prabhupada almost put him to tears. Because, you know, he woke him up in the middle of the night. Prabhupada was already awake, of course. He said, "Why are you still sleeping?" And he was really tired. And he said, "Prabhupada, I'm really tired. And why are you tired? You're a young man." And he just completely sort of cornered him and completely defeated his mind. And he almost started to cry. And then Prabhupada said, "That's all right." And then, you know, but the point is that he sort of asked him, "Why are you not a Paramahamsa?" This was actually, he said, "Well, Prabhupada, but you're a Paramahamsa." He said, "Why are you not a Paramahamsa?" So we should not make too many excuses, you know. Because if we just follow this process, of course we're not Paramahamsas, but Prabhupada gives the example, we're green mangoes. We're not yet ripe, which is one other word for ripe, is paka brahmana. But we are at least on the boat. Like, I remember many years ago, we had Bhakta Paul, wasn't even initiated, and he just jumped up right in front of Radha Gopinath, and that was it. Bhakta Paul went back to God, according to all the devotees, and I can attest to that. I think he just jumped up, and he had a weak heart, and he kind of left his body. The devotees realized that it was very serious. They started to do kirtan, and the guys with the chopper came, but I realized he was already gone, and everybody had to move out of the temple room, and after 15 minutes they come out, and Bhakta Paul was officially pronounced dead, as they say. But he was following the process. He was there at Guru Puja. I remember very well, like Chakra Grand Prabhu, he was leading the kirtan, very ecstatic kirtan, and then we carried his body up in your room, Rupa Sanatana's room. I don't know if you're still there. But that's where we put his body, I remember. Yeah. All the devotees came there and we offered flowers. It was quite a thing. But the point is that he was very sincere devotee and he was following very sincerely, and you know, the devotees were very convinced that he went back to Godhead. So that's the point. He wasn't even initiated, but if we just follow, then we're like, in one sense we are perfect. There's different kinds of perfection, you know, like you have Mathura and, you know, Vrindavan. It's all perfect, but there's different gradation. They're all, like, I give the example of a mango. They're all mangoes, but one is ripe and the other one is not ripe. But even an unripe mango in India, they make sabji from it. So even an unripe mango, it has some use. Like, we're part and parcel of Krishna, so we just increase the joy of Krishna, even though it might be limited joy, but still we increase a little bit the joy of Radha Gopinath. So that is appreciated. And understanding his own position as an eternal servant of Krishna. Preaching this is showing real mercy to living entities. Other types of humanitarian work may be temporarily beneficial for the body, but because a living entity is spiritual soul, ultimately one can show him real mercy only by revealing knowledge of his spiritual existence. And then this is important. At the time, Mahaprabhu says, "Jivana Swarabhoi Krishnera Nityadas." Every living entity is constitutionally a servant of Krishna. One should know this fact perfectly and should preach it to the mass of people. So, of course, what better way to preach it is than to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. But, anyway, I can speak a little bit more on that later, because now it becomes kind of heavy. But we're doing it also here in Radhes, where the doors are open. Every day there's tour programs. So we're basically preaching this. If one realizes that he is an eternal servant of Krishna but does not preach it, this realization is imperfect. And this is very nice. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur therefore sings, "Dushtamana tumi kishera vaishnava." My dear mind, what kind of Vaishnava are you? Pratishtahara tare, pratishta means false prestige, simply for false prestige, near janare ghare, tava harinama kevala kataiva. Kataiva means cheating. Like in Bhagavatam, it's said in the first canto, kataiva dharma. So it should be kicked out. Cheating religion. This is where Bhagavad Gita ends. Sarvadham Prityagya, Mamaikam Sharanam. You kick out all dharma and you just surrender into Krishna. This is where Bhagavatam starts. All this cheating religion, this is nothing to do with it. This is real religion. What, like Yamaraj is saying, real religion is what is given directly by God. That is real religion. So that is Bhagavatam. My dear mind, what kind of Vaishnava are you? Simply for false prestige and a material reputation, you are chanting the Hare Krishna mantra in a solitary place. In this way, people who do not preach are criticized. So here also we should mark that Bhaktisiddhanta sometimes he's called the lying guru, and we say he's so heavy. But here we can see what a gentleman he is, because it's very indirect. Of course, sometimes he would also directly preach to the Babaji's in Vrindavan, but this is very indirect. He says, my dear mind. He doesn't say your mind or the Babaji's mind. He says, my dear mind, what kind of Vaishnava are you? So it's very humble. It's an indirect way of telling people they shouldn't do that. There are many Vaishnavas in Vrindavan who do not like preaching. They chiefly try to imitate Haridas Thakur. The actual result of their so-called chanting in a secluded place, however, is that they sleep and think of women and money. I had a little discussion with Vishnumurti about this, and we concluded, like Rupa Sanatan was also saying, that we should just increase the responsibility. We should increase our servant. This is really the, as far as we concluded, at least for my case, this was really the only solution to overcome this, thinking of women and money and sleeping. The only way to overcome this is to increase our service and increase the taste for our service. It's kind of a, you know, like you have the samsara, it's like a, you know, downwards spiral. So the devotional service is like an upward spiral. You serve, you get more taste, you want to serve more. Of course, one of the main things to be avoided is offenses. Like we had this devotee, Bhakta John, of course he's still a devotee, and we were in Amsterdam, and we would always recite the 10 offenses of the Holy Name. And the first offense is to blaspheme the devotees who've dedicated their lives in propagating the Holy Name of the Lord. So in Amsterdam, it's a very intense place, who's ever been there? And it's a really tough place. It's called the pressure cooker by Kramakadar. But he would always go, like when somebody would make an offense, he would go one, you know, to avoid, you know, making any more offenses. Or Dharma Kshetri would used to say, at least try to minimize the offenses. So we should try to do that. Of course, another point I want to share with you is that, because making offenses is one sense unavoidable, but we should try at least to apologize, which is very difficult. But we can pray to Radha Gopinath that please, you know, make some arrangement that I can apologize. Because this is the main thing, because offenses will be made, no matter what you do, especially when you preach. You, like Prabhupada, he asked forgiveness to his godbrothers, because he was preaching, he was pushing on his mission. So I'm not saying he made offenses, but, you know, Prabhupada said it. He said, forgive me for all my offenses. So when we preach, it's almost unavoidable to make offenses. So the main thing is we have to apologize. Like Sautrama Maharaj, and then I'll kind of end. Sautrama Maharaj, he gave the example that a pilot, he goes from Amsterdam to New York, and it's understandable that he goes a little bit off course. But he all the time brings it back by the ground personal and by his own, you know, all the things he has on board. So similarly us, you know, it's normal that we go a little bit off track. We make an offense here and there, but we should bring it back. We should apologize and stay on the course. Stay the course, George Bush would say. Stay the course. So we should really stay the course and, you know, like I said, yet try to apologize and pray to Gopinath that please make some arrangement so I can apologize to the Vaishnav. And if it's not possible, then we can just, some other, like Vaishnav has also left the body, we can just pray to him, pray to Krishna, and just keep chanting. No matter how many offenses you made, just keep chanting. This will take care of everything ultimately. And the idea is that by the chanting, you will also get the desire to apologize, because that actually is needed. You must apologize. And you know, I apologize so many times, and you know, Mukti Dattri, she said, "Yeah, you're just like an elephant. You know, you keep making offenses and apologizing." She says, no use. She's a very nice devotee. But you know, it's very bad, of course, if we keep making offenses. But at least we should keep apologizing. And yeah, gradually we hopefully can, like Dharmak said, you say, minimize the offenses. Yeah, so we should increase our service and try to avoid the offenses and yeah, just get the stage. Yeah, one last thing. I was quoting this book, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So we should also try and study that, because devotees, most devotees are very knowledgeable, and there's many. Because I was reading the 64 items of devotional service, then there's also so many seva apparatus, so many offenses you can make during seva. Like, you know, I don't know, bowing down with one hand, or for instance, you should ring the bell when you come in. So if you don't do these things, they say seva apparatus leads to Vaishnava apparatus, because what happens if you not perform your service correctly, then the Vaishnava will come and he'll say, well, Prabhu, you should do it like this and this and that. And then if you're not properly situated, if like say you're tired, and you might get angry, and then you make an offense. So you should also study this book, Bhakti Rasamrita Siddhi, or Nectar of Devotion, in order to avoid Vaishnava Prat. In other words, to be very diligent in serving Krishna correctly. And then you can also avoid the Vaishnava apparat. Like I said, Seva apparat, it leads to Vaishnava apparat. So it's a very technical process. It's a very scientific process. So please study that book. Similarly, one who simply engages in temple worship but does not see to the interests of the mass of people or cannot recognize devotees is called a Kanishtha Adhikari. Yeah, so that's the last point. Of course, here we, like I said, we open our doors. So many people come here to write this. So that we do. But then, who cannot recognize devotees, I said it in the beginning, like charity starts at home, so that we should be very mindful of that we should always recognize the devotees. Yeah, otherwise we're Kanishtha Adhikari. Of course they say if you Madhyama Adhikari means a preacher and he has so much knowledge, so most of us are like that. But here it says, if you cannot recognize the devotees, then still you're Kanishtha Adhikari. So even if you have lots of knowledge, and you're preaching, and you basically can't fall down, you really know Krishna is God, I'm not his body. But if you don't recognize the devotees, then it's still kind of neophyte level. So it's very important. Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastra Koi, Baba Matra Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoi. You get all the siddhis by associating with the devotees. And Bhakti Chandra Maharaj said that this Vaishnava etiquette, it's like an ornament of the devotee. So if we follow this proper Vaishnava etiquette, we recognize the advanced devotees or the senior Vaishnavas, then everything will be very, very nice. So I'll stop there. Thank you very much. Maybe there's some question or comment. Yeah. Yeah, sometimes we're criticized in ISKCON that it's so intense and this and that. It's true, but that's exactly your point, that because it's so intense, you make a lot of advancements. Like we were talking about it a few days or weeks ago, and the example was given, which was told to me many, many years ago, that it's like diamonds, you know, coming together. You can only, you know, polish a diamond with another diamond. So devotees are like diamonds, and by preaching, the pressure gets really on, and then you sometimes bump into each other. There's also I think it's from the six, it's like a proverb, that if you have an argument with someone, the friendship becomes closer. Like I used to fight when I was young, and then after the fight, the person would become my best friend. You know, like 7, 8, 9, like that. So, like that. Like I said, making the offenses is not so much the issue. We should, after that, apologize, and then we'll come closer. So, yeah, this preaching, it puts a lot of pressure on us. And, of course, it's the time Mahaprabhu's desire, it's Radharani's desire to engage everybody in Krishna's service. So it's by his will that we are preaching, by the Acharya's will. But it's a significant point. At the same time, you know, Prabhupada does also stress, or Narada Muni, that we should first also perfect ourselves. So we shouldn't, like I said, boiling down the milk. So one practical point is that, because we've seen it in the past also, we've done so much preaching. I think the sadhana, it's very important. We should not compromise too much of our sadhana. Like sometimes Prabhupada would say, you can skip the arti, but you should not skip the class. Especially the classes is like, you know, you need something to chew on, you know, this knowledge. Like now we're reading this Bhagavatam. So the whole day you can think about this. You filled your mind with this knowledge. So that's important. That's important that you, just swim in this knowledge every day. And one other point I wanted to raise is that Narada Muni says that if a living entity is merciful to others, then he can attain liberation. And Prabhupada says, that's very positive, but Prabhupada says if you don't preach, then, you know, he makes the conclusion, then you cannot make any advancement, which is what Yadarani was saying. Or it's very slow. Anything more? Yes, please. Yeah, no, you can't. Well, you can ask Mukti Datri. It's very difficult for her. It's very difficult to deal with such a person. But, you know, we have to be tolerant. I mean, you know, it's not our policy to ask people to leave, you know. It's our policy to reform people. So some other, you know, by our humility, we should reform that person. But that's my understanding, you know. It's no use forcing the person. That's kind of material. The idea is by our humility to melt that person's heart. That's my understanding. That's how Prabhupada did it. He just cooked the Sunday feast. He cleaned it, everything. And gradually Ramananda was thinking of, Prabhupada, maybe, can I wash your clothes? This was after many, many months. Prabhupada was washing his own clothes, everything, doing translations. He never asked anybody, you should wash my clothes. So, by our humility. Yeah, well, yes. No, that's true, but, you know, What I'm thinking is, what if you don't apologize? As far as I'm concerned, that's worse. But it's very bad, of course, if a person keeps doing the same mistakes and he keeps apologizing. But generally it gets less. Like Visamurti said that, you know, first it was like atomic explosions, Madhugopa in the office, and then it became like bombs, and then now it's sort of firecrackers, you know. So that firecrackers can still, you know, take out your eye. So we want to have it like become plastic bags, like, and then ultimately nothing. So very gradually, you know, process works. Process does work. Okay, I think we'll end there. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.